praise him, Lord. Brother Paul called me this morning. They had a flash flood down there and washed out their lane. They can't get out. So he wanted to let me know they wouldn't be able to make it today, and just pray for them and Lord help get their lane fixed. And Brother Gene is out of town driving. So just remember him in your prayers. Amen. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we open the scriptures. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, I ask for those that are not able to be here, Lord, that you would touch them, dear God, and give them what they have need of, Lord. Be with Brother Gene. Watch over him, Lord, while he's on the road traveling, dear God. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us now in this service. Bless the word as it comes forth, dear God. Lord, may you anoint me, Lord, to bring the message that you've laid on my heart, Lord, to be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to turn to Luke 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasures for himself, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, begin reading at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning is laying up treasures. Laying up treasures. We find from our text in Luke that this man had laid up treasures on the earth and thought, well, I've got much to last me for many years. I'm set. And the Lord spoke to him and said, your soul's going to be required of you tonight. Then all this stuff that you have accumulated up, all these treasures that you've accumulated up, who are they going to belong to when you're gone? So he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So it depends on, according to Matthew, where we lay up our treasures at. If we lay up our treasures here on earth, then that's what we have. And we have it for as long as we live. And, you know, I saw in my news feed the other day, sometimes I don't know how some of these things come up in your news feeds, but I saw in the news feed the other day that some celebrity singer over here in Nashville somewhere, she lives, Kelly Clarkson, I think's her name, And she's got this multi-million-dollar mansion that she's putting up for sale. And it showed pictures of it. And it's a beautiful place. And I thought, you know, this particular individual, I read about her, she didn't start out with anything. She won some kind of show and become a famous singer and started recording records, and then obviously made enough money to buy this multi-million dollar mansion. I mean, it's a big thing. And she's not the only one. There's mansions all around the Nashville area of all these music singers and different ones. And, you know, they've laid up treasures for themselves here on earth. And I thought, I'd read about these sports stars that own places, they own homes and condos and mansions in different areas, different states, different places. And they haven't been going to one very much, so now they're going to sell it. And I thought, well, what would you do with all those houses? But they just stay in one place a while and then go stay over in the other place a while. They've laid up treasures for themselves here. And what it is, I'd read where Brother Branham said, let them alone, said, this is their millennium now. This is when they're having their millennium. How'd you like this to be your millennium? The devil's still bothering you. The devil still pesters you. Don't matter how much money you have or how many houses you own or how many cars you own, the devil still is there to pester you and bother you. The people are still depressed and sad. They're still taking their lives, you know, hanging themselves like Robin Williams did and all these other ones. You know, they still all down, sad, and depressed. I wouldn't want this to be my millennium. Having all that stuff don't change you. As far as, you know, it don't make sure you're never sad again. You can have all the money there is in the world and be the saddest creature there is. Look at all these stars that's coming up out of Disney. These young kids growing up, becoming adults, and they're in and out of rehab centers and everything else. And they're rich, but they're hooked on drugs and hooked on alcohol and all this other stuff. And they're in and out of rehabs and don't know what to do and try to take their own lives and all this stuff. They've laid up treasures for themselves here on earth. And see what it's doing them? Doing them no good. Treasures here will decay. Now, I'm not saying you can't have something. I'm not saying you can't have a nice house or you can't have a nice car. I'm not saying that. But when that becomes the thing that you're doing and it becomes your life instead of Christ being your life, then you've put that first. That then has become what you're worshiping. We see what kind of good it does them. What's in your heart, that's what you love. That's where you love from is your heart. That's why the Bible says where your treasures are, there will your heart be also, because you love with your heart. And if you love God with your heart, then you want to worship him. You want to serve him. It becomes where going to church is a glorious thing. It should be. It's sad when it gets where you dread coming. Sure have. I've been here long enough. I've had some times when I thought, well, my, what's the use? But you know what? That's just Satan trying to discourage me. Because I know that God is doing a work here. I know that God's not going to lose a one of you. Amen. If he's got to knock you over the head, he's going to do it. I know that might sound real crude and rude or whatever, but sometimes we get a little hard-headed, and God's got to just plant one on us. Wherever your heart is, there's your treasure. Our treasures should be in heaven. Now, how do you lay up treasures in heaven? Brother Branham says in another place that your treasures should be in the world, in the Word. And he was speaking in Arizona. He was preaching this over in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, you know, here in Arizona, they got prospectors. You should be a spiritual prospector. Get into the Word. Dig into it. And see what there is for you in there. Read the Word. You comfort yourself like David said. He comforted himself with the Word of God. The Bible tells us to meditate upon these things and give holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So you profit from meditating on the Word of God. That's something that belongs to you. I'm not talking about a Bible that's bound in leather. I'm talking about the life that comes out of the Word. That Word is living. It's real. That is your inheritance. That belongs to you. Matthew 10:42, it said, whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It says again in Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. So now we're talking about rewards. What is it? What is this doing, giving a cup of cold water to one of these little ones? Even something as simple as that is laying up a treasure in heaven. That's laying up treasures in heaven. When you do something for your brother or your sister, that's you laying up treasures in heaven. When you do things for the church, because you're doing it for everyone that belongs here. You put money in the offerings, you're laying up treasures in heaven. He says in his word, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing which you cannot contain. For what? Giving your tithe and offerings. Friends, you can't outgive God. You give anything to God, God will turn around and multiply it and give more back to you. But it might not be in this life, and who wants it in this life? You're laying up treasures in heaven. Think what you're going to have when we cross beyond here. There's an old song you sing, I've got a mansion over on the hilltop, something like that it went. You're going to have a mansion someday, but it's not going to be in this life. I don't want one in this life. It's going to pass away. One day you're going to have an eternal one. You know, I think about what the Bible says about the time of the millennium. And it says we'll build our own houses. I don't know, you know, to the extent of what that means. But I know this. I know that we're not going to have to worry about the United States almighty dollar to do it. Laying up treasures in heaven. See, because the IRS can't tax that. coming around the tax time, I guess they extended it out to May 17th, I think it is. But we're coming around to tax time. All the treasures you own here, you're paying tax on it. Every time you go down to buy your tags for your vehicle, you're paying taxes. That's why they're so expensive. That's why they cost you like $94. Because the biggest majority of that's all in taxes going here and there and yonder. And I don't understand all about these IRA accounts and all that stuff. You know, really, I'm not a financial whiz. But I know they try to put money aside where the IRS can't tax it. But I'm going to tell you something. IRS taxes everything. They're like my daddy always said, they're like a big old alligator. They never get enough. Laying up treasures where the IRS can't tax them. Matthew 25. We're all familiar with this particular scripture where it talks about him separating the sheep from the goats. But in verse 34, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So they're going to inherit something, the righteous. A kingdom that was prepared for them before the foundation of the world. I think about an old song I used to sing about, I'm a poor rich man. I don't have a lot in this world. But in Christ, I'm a millionaire. Hallelujah. For I am hungered and you gave me meat. I'm thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. That's laying up treasures in heaven. I think about a story Brother Branham told, I believe it was in the message Investments. But he told about going and seeing this man. He was a big rancher. But he didn't only own a ranch, he owned the bank in town, and most of the town he owned it. Y'all remember Brother Branham telling about it. And he would stretch his arm out and say, as far as you can see this way, I own it. As far as you can see that way, I own it. As far as you can see this way, I own it. And Brother Branham pointed up and said, how much do you own up that way? Yeah. How much do you own up that way? Whew. You know, the devil would try to tell you if you didn't give your tithe and offerings what you could do with that money. But all you'd be doing is just laying up treasures here on earth, stuff that's going to decay. But when you give unto the Lord, you're laying up treasures in heaven. I'm not saying this to try to drain your pocketbook. I'm saying this that you might receive the blessings of the Lord. You'll never, as I said just a few minutes earlier, you'll never be able to outgive God. He's got more in store for you than you could ever imagine. I believe that. You know, we know things about heaven. We know it says the streets are paved with gold, and about all the jewels and precious stones that are there and all this stuff. And the other. But friends, that all that is just something you take and you try to imagine, well, what would that be like? And you can't, because there's nothing like it here on this earth. We're going to something that this earth don't know nothing about. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what, when we make that rapture and go to that marriage supper of the Lamb and you look down the table yonder and you see one another, there's going to be something that just jumps in your heart because you say, oh, they made it. Hallelujah. You don't want all of your brothers and sisters here in the assembly, you wouldn't want one of them to miss it. You don't want none of your kids to miss it. That's why we need to be honest with them. I said here not long ago, I know we've got people that used to come here that ain't coming here now. And I don't know what their excuse is, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, word got to my ear that somebody had an excuse that had something to do with my wife. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you get to heaven and you say, I quit coming to church because of Sister Mina, God's going to laugh in your face. Because he ain't going to accept that excuse. That's in your imagination. That's just like the children of Israel saying, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And Brother Jewel Fournier heard him preach it one time, and he said, do you reckon one of them ever went over to the giant and said, hey, let me ask you something. What do I look like to you? A grasshopper. No, they didn't go ask. It was their imagination. It was what they thought in their own mind. I'll tell you why these people aren't coming to church, because they don't want to. If they wanted to, nothing would stop them. Do you think that somebody in this church ain't ever hurt my feelings before? I've had my feelings hurt by people here. But it didn't stop me. Why? I want to go to heaven. I want to lay up treasures over yonder. I want to make it. I want to make it in this rapture. I ain't missing out over nobody. They ain't worth it. Somebody gives us some excuse like that, well, I would come. You ought to say, look, I'm going to tell you right now, God's not going to accept your excuse. I don't care how valid you might think it is. God's not going to accept it. Just tell them like that and say, just get over it and come anyway. Brother Bram said there's a little heart door in there called your own private life. And you don't want nobody dilly-dallying with that. You say, I have my life, I'll do this or that and the other, and it's nobody's business what I do. Because that's my own private life. And he said, but I tell you, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, and you belong to God. You have no right to your own privacy. God should know everything, and he does know everything that you do. And he should have a right to that door. And I read that quote yesterday. It made me think of that song I sung about my heart's like a house. One day I let the Savior in, but there was a door we come to, and I didn't want him to go in there because I had things hidden in there. That was a door to my own private life. But you know what? When you let him in, the song says he goes in and he cleans it up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when a person dies, everybody wants to, especially their family and things, they want to think they made it and went to heaven. Nobody wants to think that their loved one, when they pass, went to hell. So a lot of times, to comfort themselves, they'll say different things. I've heard it said to me, well, they wanted to come to church. Wanting to and doing is two different things. I'm sorry. Well, they wanted to come, but they died. The thing is, did they have plenty of opportunity to come? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am, they did. Sometimes they'll say, well, they gave their life to the Lord right before they died on their deathbed. Brother Branham said, that might be so, but I wouldn't count on it. He said, people say, well, I'll give my life to the Lord on my deathbed when I die. And he said, you might be able to do it, but I wouldn't count on it. And there's another quote I read. Brother Branham said, young man, young woman this morning, you old man and old woman who's never been a Christian, God continually knocking at your heart. You might come in at the end of the road, but you'll have no joy. There'll be no stars around you to shine. What's he saying? You might come in at the end, but you won't have no reward. You will have not laid up any treasures in heaven. Whew. Think about it. I'll tell you something. I want eternal life. But I don't want it in this body I'm living in right now. I don't want to be eternally like this to you, Brother Jim. I want to be changed. I want that body change that the Bible promises us. I want to live eternally like that. Hallelujah. Because when I look in the, you know what, friends, look, this isn't about vanity. But when I look in the mirror and I see what's happened to me, this is a representation of the curse that's upon man. That reflection represents death. But oh, Brother Branham said, God took a snapshot at you when you was at your best. And that's what you're going back to. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So here Jesus is telling them, you're going to have a reward in heaven. When men revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake, that's treasures being laid up in heaven for you. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. There's people that are Christian, they're procrastinators. They procrastinate becoming Christians. I'll do it tomorrow. You know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. Don't put off to tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen to you today. There was a few years back, there was a preacher one midweek service, he got to talking about how much he had been blessed with good health. He'd never had bad health like a lot of other preachers that he had known. He said God had really blessed him with good health. The next day he went out through an intersection, got side T-boned and died. You don't know what the day is going to bring. It don't matter whether you say, well, I got good health. That don't mean nothing. I think about the accident I heard about down here on 46. I don't know if you know where that Pilot gas station is. There's a road that comes out right there between there and over there where that Chevy dealer is. And trucks come in and out that road over there all the time. And there was a young person went speeding down through, a truck come out, they went underneath the truck and decapitated themselves. Just a teenager, just a young person. They didn't have no health problems until they lost their head. It don't matter. You say, well, I'm healthy. It don't matter. That don't mean nothing. You don't know what might happen to you. You don't know what the day might bring. Years and years ago, I was just a young boy, a little boy, going to a church, and there was a call give out where somebody said, God's dealing with somebody's heart, said, come. And nobody would come forth, and then the preacher spoke, and he said, this is your last opportunity that you'll ever receive. Nobody came. The next day, one of the teenagers from the church was out working on his daddy's farm and got backed over by a tractor and killed him. It was his last opportunity. He didn't come. Healthy. Just a young teenager. Healthy. But it didn't matter. That was his last opportunity. He didn't know what the next day was going to bring. You say, I've tried it before. And it seemed like nothing changed. I was reading in the message where Brother Branham was talking about this young woman. Said she was real beautiful. And he was at this service, and they had a room in the back, and they had brought in people from this insane asylum. And he went in there to pray for them. Some of them was in straight jackets and everything else. And he went in there to pray for them, and he said there was this young woman in there, said she was real beautiful. Amen. And he said, you're not a patient here. And she said, yes, I am. Yes, sir, I am. And he said, "What? But this is an insane place. Why are you in this? She said, well, I'll tell you, Brother Branham. She said, I used to be a normal person. She said, but one day I got to dating this boy and said he smoked and drank. And he tried to get me to drink, and I wouldn't do it. And said, but then he gave me a Coke, and it had something in it. I didn't know it. She said, after that night, I was no longer a moral girl. You know what she means? It means that boy took advantage of her. And she said, then I thought, what's the use? I'm ruined now. Because she had been taught that to be a moral girl, not to do those things. And she said, before I knew it, she was she become almost like a prostitute, not really selling herself, but meaning she just immoral. And she said, and I'd try to straighten up and I'd be right back out there again, drinking and carrying on and living wrong. Said, somebody told me what you need to do is you need to change your religion. She had been a religious girl. Said, you need to change your religion. So she got sent to this place for young women. It was a Catholic church provided. So she said, I changed my religion. And she was in there for a couple of years. And she said, I became a Catholic. And said after a couple of years, she came out of there. And when she came out, she said it wasn't long, I was right back to the same old thing again. She said, nothing changed. I've tried to change. Brother Branham said, wouldn't you like to be a wife of some nice person someday and raise children? She goes, who would have me? He said, God can change that. He said, let's pray. So they got down and they started praying. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And after a while, she got up and said, well, I think I got it. She said, I think I'll be all right now. Brother Bram said, no, you ain't got it yet. You'll just be turning a new page. He said, you'll go right back out and do the same thing. He said, you need to get down and pray some more. He said she got down and they prayed some more. He said then she got to pray and said all of a sudden something changed. Amen. And she started really praying. And said then she started screaming. And tears, she said, was just rolling down her face. And she was crying and she was screaming and something just tore loose. And after a while, she got up and she said, something is different. Something has happened to me. Brother Brown said, yes, it has. He said, when that word becomes a living reality to you, it changes something. That seed has been awoke. It's come to life. Amen. When that's a new life that's come, you won't have to worry about going out there and doing them same old things again. Because there's a new life that's been born. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what people need. Get born again. Amen. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the only thing that'll keep you. I was reading yesterday, I don't have the quote here with me, but I was reading yesterday. Brother Branham talked about Satan parading these young women around out here, and he said maybe they got a good figure and this, that, and the other, and then he said this. He said, look out, preacher. He said, yeah. I said, if they ain't got the Holy Ghost, it'll take a preacher. Pardon me. Brother Branham says in the mess of the world is falling apart. He said when the word of God and the seed of God was in there, it bloomed forth an example of Christianity. It would bloom forth something that the world would laugh at and make fun of. Like it did the Lord when he come. Like it did every prophet that come. They laughed and made fun of them and throwed them in the tombs. But there's coming a resurrection. Yes. Now listen to this. Men can either live for this world
or the world to come depends on where your thoughts are at. That's where your treasures are also. Let your thoughts be on heaven and the coming of the Lord. Be an example of womanhood. Be an example of manhood. Be an example of Christian. Live the life. Do what's right. Let your thoughts be on heaven and the coming of the Lord. That's where your treasures will be laid up. Hallelujah. You can either live for this world. We started out preaching this morning, and we talked about a lot of people that were living for this world. You can either live for this world or you can live for the world to come. I want to live for the world to come. You remember when Brother Branham talked about when he went to visit Oral Roberts' place they were building? And had a big sign up there that said, Future Home of Oral Roberts. And looked at all the buildings it had and all the things, you know, and all the people that were working for him. Then he went and visited where Tommy Osborne was. Said they was building there and they had a big sign up that said, Future Home of Tommy Osborne. Brother Branham saw all he had and he says, I felt ashamed. But I had a little old place over here with a little old typewriter and trying to answer letters and so forth. He said, I felt ashamed. He said, as I looked at what all they had and I looked at what little I had. Brother Branham said, he said to himself, but what about me? And a voice spoke to him and said, look up. And he looked up and he said, yes, Lord, lay my treasures in heaven, for there's where my heart is. What about me? Look up. Lay your treasures up there. Message of three kinds of believers. He'll try to tell you, talking about this, Satan now, he said, he'll try to tell you these trials and thing is your God trying to put punishment on you. It isn't so. No, sir, it's Satan doing that. And God permitting it to temper you, to make you see if you're tied to this earth or whether your treasures is in heaven. For wherever your treasure is, there you are also. Your heart is where your treasures are. Job tried, yet he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. At the last days he'll stand upon the earth, though my skin worms destroys my body. Did you ever notice the skin worms is already in him? Your skin worms is in you. You're in a sealed up casket without any air or anyhow, but the skin worms are already there. They're right in you, and they're ready to be called to duty at any time. Remember Caesar? He cankered right in the street. The skin worms eat him up right in the street, his own skin worms. There you are. They're right there ready. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You cannot annihilate it. Though the skin worms eat it up, it'll still come back again. Whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, and not another, he said it. Job, why? He was a believer. In trials, he was a believer. In persecution, he was a believer. He was a genuine believer. So we have trials come our way. Brother Branham said it's to show us whether we're tied to this earth or whether our treasures are in heaven. And then he talked about Job. Though the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Hallelujah. I shall see him for myself. Mine eyes shall behold him, but not another. Think about it. One of the treasures that is awaiting you is that body change. And I know I mention it almost every service or every other service I mention about that body change. But friends, that means a lot to me. It should mean a lot to you. We're getting closer to that time when the dead in Christ shall rise. And they'll appear to you. They'll come to you. And when they do, your body will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And then the prophet said you'll have about a month or so to spend with them here. But you won't be bothered about whether you paid the electric bill or not. You won't be bothered about them shutting off your water. You won't be bothered about these things, friends. There won't be nobody to bother you. You know why? I don't think they'll even be able to see you anymore. But you'll be seen by your loved ones, and you'll see them, and you'll have time of fellowship with them to get reacquainted. I got a picture back here in my office on the table. It's of my grandfather, Browning. And the picture was taken by somebody in the family, and he was sitting there in the chair, and he was witnessing to them about this message when the picture was taken. He would, once he gave his life to the Lord, he would take it, back then it's reel-to-reel tape machines, y'all, if you all remember them or not. It was reel-to-reel tape machines. And he had one that he could pack around, and he'd take it around to his kids and different ones and say, I want you to hear something. Out of all those ones that he witnessed to, there's only one of them serving God right now. But I thought about him the other day because the 17th was his birthday. And he would have been 101 years old. That would have been his 101st birthday. And I thought about how many years he's been gone. He's been gone since 1974. And I thought about how many years he's been gone. And I thought of what he must look like now. And friends, I can't wait to see him. He and I had a special relationship. I can't wait to see him again. Relationship we're going to have in that new body is going to be far beyond what we ever had in this life. I'm looking forward to the dead in Christ rising. I'm looking forward to leaving out of here. Those are treasures. Treasures that don't rot or decay. Treasures that no one can steal. Huh? Somebody's house got broke into and they stole some of their guns and different things. And when me and Brother David heard about it, we both went out and bought a safe. It's because in this life, anything you have could be took. But the treasures you lay up over there, they're eternal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friends, I look forward to seeing each and every one of you there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful, dear God, for this day. We're thankful, dear God, for this message, Lord, that you give us. Lord, for your presence, Lord, and how it makes us feel in our hearts, dear God. Lord Jesus, oh, how we're longing for that time, God. This world is truly falling apart. We look at things that are happening in the news and politics and in the world and in Israel. We see, Lord, how much closer we are to the going away time. Lord, we just want to be ready. Lord, I pray, God, that you will continue to work on us to make us ready, dear God. Let us take that word, as the Bible says, and make ourselves ready. Lord Jesus, you said that you'd present to yourself a spotless church. Lord God, we're looking forward to that day of presentation, Lord. Bless your people now, I pray. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.